$1 million, you found out they are worth even less than that. But Warren Buffett was getting richer. Then his own stock started climbing. They realized that this man knows what he's saying. Economic principles are written according to Warren Buffett's statements. Accounting patterns were changed because of Warren Buffett. Why am I telling his story? That's what people tell you. That's how you know about Warren Buffett. But he has a rule. A certain proportion of their income is given to charity. You cannot negotiate that. What has that got to do with his investment capabilities? You will never find out. But you will not understand that there is a spirit in man, and it is only the inspiration of the Almighty that gives him understanding. Are you getting my point? And God said the priestly part of his life is that charity work. Let him stop doing it. You will see how Berkshire Hathaway, what's the name of that his company, will come crashing down. They have come to learn it. All the rich men on earth have come to learn it. That if you want to sustain wealth, you must be a charitable giver. Listen, I told you before that treasure in heaven, we discussed under spiritual economics, if you remember. There's what the Bible calls treasure in heaven. If you don't have it, there are two things you will lack. One, either you don't have treasure on the earth, or the day you get treasure on the earth, God takes away the ability to enjoy it. Are you getting my point? Listen, what's his name? John D. Rockefeller. The man was an astute businessman. Rich. The guy had too much money. At a point in time, the richest man in America also. But guess what? He slept with a gun under his pillow. Because there were enemies everywhere. He went to church and he was flanked on the left, on the right, front and behind by bodyguards. In church. He was a Christian. That is, this billionaire wants to sleep. He puts a pillow under his bed, under his pillow. Sorry. He puts a gun under his pillow. And then I heard he became sick. And he was not curable. Then the doctors talked to him. There was nothing we can do for you, sir. There's nothing we can do anymore. Then the preacher told him, you need to start giving. The preacher said, you had better start giving. He helped him. Then the man set up a Rockefeller Foundation and began to give as a vocation. That is, I wake up in the morning, let me see how I can give. He became well. He died in the age of 90-something. Then he didn't need bodyguards. He didn't need a gun under his pillow. Listen, treasure in heaven is what gives you treasure on the earth and allows you the ability to enjoy the world that God has given you. That's the priestly corner of your life. Listen, the priestly corner of life is that one that keeps on building treasure in heaven for you. To the natural man who does not understand the things of God, who cannot receive it because they are only spiritually discerned, that man will never understand why you are wasting time and wasting money. My pastor Lagos told a story once that he noticed, he said, there were people he saw doing very well in business and ministering by the side. Doing well in business and ministering by the side. And then one day, they felt, they didn't understand very well, I believe. They felt, let us go and make more money in business and then we can minister properly. The moment they pulled out of ministration to be able to make more money, business collapsed. They didn't understand. I told you before, God always looks for an excuse to bless. The priestly corner of their life was what they neglected. That withdrew the blessing from the business side. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That withdrew the blessing from the business side. He said, then he remembered that the Bible says that God is not unjust so as to forget your work, your labor of love, in that you are ministering to the saints and you still, he said, you ministered to the saints and you still do minister. That is what was blessing them was administration. They thought it was a business acumen. That's what I call the priestly corner of life. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. God always looks for an excuse to bless. If you see a man who makes good investments and makes money, it is not because he's a good investor. It's because God told him when to invest. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Look, listen, God does not always wake up, my son, thou shalt invest here. No. Listen, you take decisions based on information that you have. Are you getting my point? God will just leak information to him. Or suddenly his heart will lock on one information that nobody else is noticing. I told you that Warren Buffett invests with one simple principle. You think it's common sense, but you don't know how uncommon common sense is. He just says that I won't pay more for a company that is really worth, no matter how much you are selling it. That is like, no matter the hype around it, I will check how much it is really worth. That's what I'm going to pay for, or less, because it's an investment. Listen, Those are understandings that God gives you. Are you getting the point I'm making? God gives you such understandings. And listen, he does that as a result of the priestly corners of in your life. I hope this thing I'm saying is making sense to you. All right. Now, I said you should open somewhere, didn't I? Okay, I said that what we have been doing so far is just what? Laying foundations, all right? Okay, let me now go back to to the main message. It says 101, right? Okay, I said I want to make a point for the day, and then I am going to close with that point. Now, yes. Maybe I should title that point I want to make room. Kingsley, you know what I'm talking about. All right. And what I want to read is from, I'll take a text of scripture and we'll use it. Luke chapter 14. I'll be reading from verse 28. Jesus said something. He said, for which one of you, it was saying some other issues, all right? But then there's a principle here that he used to lay his that was a reason, that is a foundation for the things he said previously. And it's that principle I want to highlight. He said, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Then he went ahead to explain that what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider. Notice the word. And first one he said, sit down and calculate the cost. This one says, sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000. Now let me just stop there. Now, there's a reason why I read this. And you understand that in a moment. Because there is something that is popular. Let me tell you something about things that are popular. They are not necessarily right. In fact, if things get too popular, be careful. Because broad is the road that leads to destruction. And there are too many people that walk in it. There's something that's very common amongst Christians these days, which is the reason why I read this. And that is that, and it's not their fault. I'm a preacher, so I'm not ashamed to say this. I should be ashamed, all right? But what I mean is that I am not afraid to say it because I'm not abusing them. I'm abusing us. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It is the way they are taught. It's the way their preachers preach it. I go to church. Apart from being a preacher, I watch TV. What used to be one of my favorite channels on TV was TBN, all right? I watch TBN a lot. I go to church every Sunday, almost every Sunday, except things go wrong. You understand my point? And then a lot of days during the week, I'm in church. And it's not every time I'm preaching. I buy books. I read. And the general thing that Christians are taught about money is to be impulsive and irresponsible. I'm sorry, but that's a fact. Christians are taught to be impulsive and irresponsible. And then when you want to explain, he said they are living by faith. You know what? This man wrote a book long ago, Freddie Casey Price. He called it Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption. That what am I doing? Is it really faith or is it foolishness? Or I'm just presuming, you know, that everything will be all right. Now, there's a fine line between those three. What I want to tell you is that Christians are generally taught to be impulsive. Are you getting my point? I've heard people say that a good Christian comes to church with his checkbook. I said that is nonsense. What am I coming to check with my church book? What am I coming to check with my checkbook for? You know why you say such things? Because you expect to take unannounced offerings anytime. And you expect I should always be ready. Listen, it is not a godly principle. Not everybody will agree with this, but I'll say it anyway. So at least those who want to agree, we have a reference point. It is not a godly principle to live by impulse. Listen to me. There are situations in which you do something impulsive. It is right. But it is never the rule of life. That's why I say that no matter the message you preach, when you finish, you say, I need to connect with an offering, I just knock you off my head. No, look, that's my principle for you. I have another one. This is just by the way. No matter what you say, I would never put up my hand for an offering again in life. except God pulls my ear and shouts louder, so loud that I can't deny that he's the one that said, put up your hand. I don't ever again. You say, why? Yes, I realize I'm reacting to things. But it's what I'm reacting to. We just close our eyes bluntly to the fact that Jesus said, give your arms in secret. Are you getting my point? Now, you see, I agree there's a balance to things. I can use a testimony to step, and I'll share some things with us as we're going along the line. But what I'm trying to say is that this is just my own, by the way. I have reached a point now. If you say, who is giving 5,000 and I want to give you 50? As you say, put up your hand, I put my hand between my knees and lock it. The hand is not going up anywhere. When you, out of frustration, you leave the pulpit, I'll give you a check for 50,000 naira. Come forward right now, I want to bless that hand. Sir, if that offering is blessed, it is blessed. It does not need you. Some old man came and said, all those of you are giving 50,000 naira, I want to wash your hand with oil. But if I don't give it, I shouldn't bring my hand. You are forgotten that it's acceptable according to what a man has and not according to what he doesn't. I'm sorry, you see, I don't like saying all these things in public, really. I don't know, just, you know, because people who are not mature, who don't understand, you can push them to an extreme. You understand my point? But sometimes I think there should be a form of correction. There's too much lawlessness in Christianity. Lawlessness. I'm sorry. That's why I've reached a point. If you have people like me in the congregation as a preacher, you'll be frustrated if you come to raise an offering. But however, if you're a sensible person, that place will never lack money. That is, stop trying to whip up emotions. Let me get back to the main thing I want to say. The main thing I'm saying is that Christians are not supposed to be impulsive. Are you getting my point? There are occasions in which something critical happens, and I'm sure you don't wish that your life should be lived by crisis. Do you get my point? Listen. I mean, I've planned that, listen, I have 2,000 naira to spend between now and Friday. And as I'm going along the road, I see a young boy who is stranded, he needs to go home, and he needs 1,000 naira out of that 2,000 naira. And I know the other 1,000 will stress me like crazy. You understand my point? I can't say, no, I have budgeted, I can't give him. That's madness. You get my point? You follow what I want to say? There is a critical situation on ground, therefore I give the young man the money. Are you getting my point? That's what I mean by crisis. But you know that you won't meet such a crisis every day. It doesn't happen like that. Usually where you are going to give to next week, you know it today. Hey, you know it today. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The church you attend, you know that this church runs. You know that this pastor is paid. You know that this place spends money. Every day you know. It is not every day you will meet a man by the roadside who is absolutely stranded, who is not a beggar. You know, I even have allocation for beggars. You know what my allocation for beggars? This is just by the way. We'll discuss some of this in details. It's a maximum of 10 naira. Occasionally stretched is 20. You know why? He's a beggar. And they're supposed to collect what? Crumbs. You know what's crumbs? Change. Lazarus desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. That's what beggars get. Crumbs. As people say, I just gave the beggar 500. My own is that I don't consider it righteousness. I think it's foolishness. I won't give a beggar 500. I never in my life give a beggar. Why should I? It's unfair to the man who walks. My wife told me a story the other day of a young boy who carried her load around the market for her. Normally they charge like maybe 50 naira. And she paid the boy 300 naira because of his hard attitude. I said, that's the kind of thing I agree with. A beggar, I'm telling you the truth. If I have 5 naira, that's what I give you. And if you complain once, you will never see my money again. Look, I will explain many things, but let me just talk. The other day there was one woman who knocked on my gate. Said she was looking for my wife. I looked at her, what's the relationship between you and my wife? She said that she came here once and my wife helped her. So that's why you have come back. So that it was the Spirit of God that said she should stop at my gate. And my wife gave her stuff and all that. That she knows she's a very good woman. I'm aware of that. That's why I married her. So what's your problem today? I said, the woman is not around. She's 300 kilometers away. Now only me and my brother at the house right now. He said her child is sick. Oh, that's why you have come to look for my wife. No problem. So I gave her money. She said, the child is sick. I gave her money. Really, I did. So she left. Then on Wednesday this week, I was in church in the evening. She appeared again, carrying that same child and being followed by that same daughter. And came and asked us, please, has this man gone? Asked for one guy who was there. And the guy who was with me, another of my friend, the pastor, said that, this woman, I saw her standing watching that guy drive away. I said, don't worry, I know she has come to beg us for money. She didn't ask us anyway. So I saw her asking some other people. So I drove away. Then as soon as there was a problem at the gate as we were going out. One of our guys couldn't find his tally. So I drove back to where we were to help. It was night, so I used my light to look on the floor, whether I could help him find his gate pass, all right? So at that point in time, as we're driving away the second time, she rushed there, Augusta, please, sir, excuse me, sir. So I braked. So my guy said, what are you stopping for? I said, she wants to beg us for money. I said, peradventure, she's just stranded. It is night. Let's get out of here. So I took some money. I gave to her, which was far beyond what I give beggars. But I told him, this is why I'm telling the story. I said, this is my third time. Second, personally, my wife being number one. That's our third time as a family of giving this woman money. I have come to recognize that she's a beggar. I said, next time she will never get more than 20 naira from me. The first time, she was not a beggar. She was a woman in need. Are you getting my point? So my wife gave gladly to her. Second time, she was a woman whose child was sick. So I gave enough money to get that child treatment. But the third time, she didn't recognize me. That the last time she saw me, she didn't know me. She just saw my house. She knew my house. It was night also. So she couldn't, in fact, I didn't even give her the money. I was just driving in. I saw her at the gate. So all my discussion with her was as I was parking my car. So after I finished, I walked into the house, gave my brother the money to go and give to her. So I don't think she could recognize me. And I'm a dark person, you know. To say I yellow small, it would have been better. But being black like this, you can't see me at night. You understand my point? Thank God I'm not a thief. I'm not a wear mask. Just go and steal at night. Nobody will ever see you. All right. So that third time, she didn't recognize me. I am very sure of that. Are you following my point? But then I recognized her and realized that she's a beggar. Instantly. I won't give her money again. No, I will. But her portion of my life is a crumb portion now. If she comes again, I will never give anything that's more than 20 naira. Never. Actually, 10 naira is what I will give. No, I've seen it. A woman also stopped my friend and I once in the hospital with her child. Before, I was a wicked person those days. But now, the righteousness of God in my heart has leapt up and taken charge. Even before, if I see that you are lying to me, I won't even answer you. But now, I accommodate liars. I'll tell you my reason why. So the woman came. And they came for a clinical. One long story happened after another one. Then the short one came in between. In fact, the story is complicated. I said, okay, so what's the problem? They have to get back to Abakaliki. So my friend and I said, how much does it cost to transport two people to Abakaliki? We calculated it and gave them enough money to get them back to Abakaliki. They could be lying, peradventure, but they could also be telling the truth. So let's err on the side of caution. So we gave them the money, go back to Abakaliki. A week later, I went to the post office to go and collect letters from the boy. As I was coming out, hey, good afternoon, sir. I said, if I backhand your face right now, you know. I was angry because I believed her the last time. If I didn't believe her last time, I wouldn't have been angry. This time around, I just looked at her. In my mind, if I slap you, you will become crippled. So I entered my car and drove away. Now, what am I saying? If I see that woman again, will I give her money? Yes, next time, but 10 naira. Not enough money to get two people from here to Abakaliki. Do you know why? I have recognized that she's a beggar. What do I mean? I owe a beggar a fraction of a meal. It's called a crumb. Because as soon as he leaves me, he goes to another person. All of us as a community owe the person food and clothing, nothing extra. We don't owe him any luxury. None. He does not deserve a fan, doesn't need an air conditioner. What does he need? Food, clothing, and shelter. So if I give him a little, calculate that 10 or 20 of my tithe, give him that small amount of money is enough. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's the principle. So do I give to beggars? Yes, but I don't ever give them large amounts. People who are in need, who beg me, they are not beggars. Are you getting my point? That's why I gave the story of a woman who came from this. I didn't know her from Adam, but she could just be telling the truth. But I have observed that she's always telling the story here and there, which has turned her to a beggar. I'm not angry. Gone are the days when I have this righteous indignation against people who lie like that. It's not my portion. You understand my point? My own is I'm the rich man at the table, and you are a Lazarus. Here's my crumb, and get out of my life. Are you getting my principle? Now, Kingsley, why did we get there? Okay, I was talking about impulsive living. There's something that just led me off the track there. But I'm explaining sound principles of financial management. Number one, you're not supposed to be an impulse person. And it is not a matter of faith to spend beyond what you have. It is a matter of stupidity, foolishness, and another one, covetousness. You are greedy. You are trying to use God as a justification for your indiscipline. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the same manner, you cannot, listen to me, it is not a matter of faith to pledge beyond what you have. That's what Rex Church is. And the pastors will be complaining that people are not meeting up their pledge. You were the one that told them to pledge by faith. No, because you saw the pledges. It was just 50,000. You want them to be up to 500,000. So he started telling them, no, you have to stretch out by faith. Call the thing to be by faith. So the man withdraws the pledge of 200 naira, which he knows he can pay, and gives you a pledge of 10,000 naira, which he's believing God will give him money to pay. And since he's not the one that's going to pay, it is God. When God didn't bring the money, he didn't pay you. Why are you complaining now? You were the one that told him to pledge by faith. And since God didn't answer him, I mean, his deal was not with you. His conscience is towards God. So he said, God, I pledged 5,000 between then and now. You've always given me 600 naira. So it's a matter of faith. So as I'm giving this 50 naira as redemption, I'm sowing it into this place as a redemption of 5,000. May it multiply 100-fold when it gets into the fertile ground. You said it was fertile ground. No, be so. Look, I'm explaining some principles because you have to understand the Bible kept on saying, Jesus said it. Paul explained it. Paul said it is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he pledges by faith. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The foundation I'm laying today is that stop being impulsive. I've said it to people that ideally, like, let me give this as a practical example. I go to a church, all right? I'm a part of the church. I work there. I'm a known person there. And I love the place, and I support what's going on there. And then I'm involved in this work of the ministry that we do here. You get my point. And then I have a job I do in the university. So I get paid a salary there. That's why I brought that one in. Every month, I know what I'm going to earn, generally. As a matter of salary and as a matter of any extras that come by, so I have a fair idea. And I have shared everything out as it's supposed to go. Are you getting my point? I have. At the end of the month, I tear my checkbooks. I write a check, drop it in the offering basket in church. I write a check, it comes to this ministry. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I write a check, it goes to certain places. I do distribute according to where it's supposed to go. Yes, if I must give impulsively from the rest, it's out of my food. You get my point. Out of my food, I do. I'm not saying I don't. I do. Every Sunday, we pass offering basket around. I drop what they call a perfunctory offering. Lest you give people offense. You understand? You just drop a little bit of money inside there. Do you get my point? But I understand that I do not owe any serious giving until the next pay. It's as I am being increased. Are you getting my point? However, before God, now listen to me. This is the interesting part. Before God, I have prayed. And I'm believing God for some things. You know, get my point? And I know that as soon as, and God knows me, I've worked with him for some time. He can trust me on certain issues. Not because I trust myself per se, but because I've done it before. Do you get my point? There was a time I even dropped the amount of money I was giving. Why, Pastor Banky? Because my income dropped by 70%. Yes. When I started working in Luth, the job I was holding before I started working in Luth, I was still doing it because it was an evening and weekend job. 6 months after I started working in Luth, I dropped it. And they were paying me more than what the dude was paying. My income dropped by 70%. So what do you think I'll do? He said, it's labor of love. Come on, listen to me. This is a man of God. He has to survive. Do you understand what I'm going to say? I have to eat also. He said, the work of God must progress. The man of God must progress also. You understand? I think I've told you this story before. Two men of God met at a train station. And they waited for the train, and the train arrived. One headed for the third class couch. Coach. And one went for the first class coach. That one had a bed, you could sleep. So they looked at each other in amazement. Man of God, man of God. The other one said, no, I'm taking care of the Lord's money. I'm managing the Lord's money. The other one said, I'm managing the Lord's servant. I'm taking care of the Lord's servant. The Lord's servant has to sleep. So one went to go and suffer. The other one went to go and sleep. Come and sit and rest for a while. That's what Jesus told his disciples. The guy said, I beg. Are you getting my principle? I'm just as an example that time came. It was for a season. You get my point? But that was the season. It's not as if I denied other people. Even me, I was denied. You get what I'm trying to say? Things I could buy before, I no longer could afford it. People say, why are you taking such a foolish decision? I say, I have to live long. They have such a brilliant future ahead of me. I can't die now. I said, my future is too bright. I can't die now because of money. No, I can't. So where I could give 500 naira before, I'll give 200 or 100 when I reach there. Where I could give 1,000, man, the thing drops to 200, 250. You had better accept it. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, if you know God, God is love. He loves you. Don't try to impress him. Get my point? You're like, let me just show God how faithful I am. Yeah. Don't let me abuse you. But you understand my point? That is not God. God wants you. He just wants faith. You know what I mean by faith? Just relax in God's hands and he will do what he wants through your life. The first point I want to make today, which I want to close with, is that issue of, please, Christianity is not about being impulsive. And impulsiveness does not equate faith. You know, before I used to think that, you know, the way we were brought up in university those days, when the move of the Spirit was very plenty, we thought that, if I remember one brother told us once that, people like Billy Graham, they have their itinerary planned 2 years ahead. How do such men still obey the Spirit? You know, it was as after I grew up, I realized that it was joblessness amongst the young people. After all, you yourself, you have no offer of ministration beyond the next month. So how can you plan for 2 years? You can't. Do you know, some months ago, I don't know, I just read in my Bible, that the Bible says that Jesus took his disciples 2 by 2 and sent them to the villages that he himself intended to come to. I said, wait, come, read that again. You mean Jesus had a plan for missions? He had this itinerary planned. I said, Billy Graham did not sin. Do you get the point I'm making? That Jesus planned that, okay, Peter, when we leave Iconium, Iconium is not part of it. That was for Paul and Co. I'm talking about Capernaum. Yeah, thank you. Maybe we'll get to Galilee. After that, we'll pass through Samaria. Now, we're heading to Jerusalem. He said, okay, there are 3 villages here. Send John 3 plus Peter 2. I'm assuming there are other names there. I just don't know names. And that little boy that just joined up, Abraham, I tell him to go with that big guy, Isaac. 2 of them should go there. You know, he sent them out. He said, all right, tell them on first day we arrive here. We'll stay there one night. We'll minister in 3 synagogues. He planned it ahead of time. Are you getting my point? And the people kept on telling them, repent. Baba is coming. The senior guy is behind us. You guys, I've come to baptize you before he comes. Because if you don't receive the baptism, nothing for you. The guy is bringing miracle along. He says, that's so. The same Jesus, yes, it's our master. He sent us ahead of time. They prepared the ground. As soon as he walked in, miracles will start. The people were prepared for his coming. Are you getting my point? Listen, I'm just going to explain that it is not pure righteousness. Do you get my point? To just be impulsive every time. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Because a lot of people, and I want to conclude with this, a lot of people who don't have to give, is because they did not prepare to give. Did you hear what I said? Let me say that again. A lot of people who don't have to give, I'm saying this out of experience, is because they did not prepare for it. But you see their life, they appear to have plenty for themselves. And when you say, give to me, they don't have. Do you know why? They have already made room for themselves alone. So when you come in, when they say, I don't have space, they are not lying. Let me summarize because our time is going. And I've barely scratched the surface. I hope you have gained something from what I've said so far. Are you sure? All right. Are you very sure? Are you just making me happy? Because I've made very few points. The main things I want to say. Well, I've started it, but time is gone. So I'll continue next time. Let me just explain this and then we'll go on. Now, there's what I call... You know, first, I've said that, one, being impulsive should be an exception, not a rule in your life. Do you understand my point? Therefore, that's why we read that scripture, which says that, which amongst you who wants to build a tower, Jesus said, does not first sit down and calculate the cost. Who's amongst you who wants to go into battle? You have ever heard of a king who will not first sit down and consider whether he's strong enough? Are you getting my point? Before you go and put a pledge here that I'll be giving you 10,000 naira a month, Kingdom of God, you are doing a lot of work. I'm going to be sowing 20,000 naira every month into this work. And at the end of the day, they say, okay, how much do you earn? He said, I earn 30,000 naira a month. I said, okay, you have given to your church 10,000. You have given to Kingdom of God 20. I heard you went to one orphanage and said their own is also 15. I said, yes. He said, what is it? He said, the Lord shall provide. You see, now because he's giving 45,000 naira a month and he's earning 30. I said, no, I believe God that, listen, that, believe me, is pure stupidity. It is not faith. Do you get my point? Yes, it is not faith. Now, that I've made that point. Now, I'm not saying that. Now that you have understood that if you have that you're not supposed to be impulsive, if you have a regular income, there should be a pattern for spending it. And that's what I'm going to go on with you next time. There are three ways you spend your money, according to the word of God. We analyze it next time. Let me just summarize it to tell you what I'm going to discuss next time. Every money that God gives you, the Bible says there is seed for the sower and there is bread for food. Seed for the sower is the money that you give. Let me know. I don't want to just give. You use, believing that you produce more for you. Do you get my point? That's why it's called seed for the sower. The number one is the one you consume and it dies. That is the end of it. For example, if you have money and you buy a car, it is not, like Robert Kiyosaki, he says it's not an asset. It's a liability. So what do you mean? Because it chops fuel. That's taking more from your pocket. It needs repairs. That's taking more from your pocket. And it's not giving you money. Except you are used for public transport. Are you getting my point? If you buy cloth, you wear it. Yes, it's covering you. It has a purpose. But it's not bringing more money to you. If it's costing you, if it's 5 naira every week to wash it, because of soap you buy, it's costing you. That's what the Bible calls bread for food. You should have bread to eat. If you buy really real food and eat it, that's bread for food. But that's one part. There is another part that I call, that the Bible calls seed for the sower. Now, there are two kinds of seed. There is spiritual seed, and there is physical seed. Spiritual seed is the one that I call the priestly part of your life. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, spiritual seed is the one that you give in what you call charitable offerings, givings. That's what you call offering, is spiritual seed. Which the Bible said that the rich guy did not do and was rich only towards himself. Therefore, he died that night. That is the one that buys for you treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven is not free. You pay for it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You lay up treasure in heaven. Jesus told the disciples, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, sell all that you have. Give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. He told the rich young ruler, he said, go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven. That is, as you give charitably, that's how you buy treasure in heaven. It is not free. It is just that Jesus said it is acceptable according to what a man has. It is not acceptable according to his excuses. Do you understand my point? God knows now that when I have, the time is coming. That is called deception. You are deceiving yourself. Do you understand my point? That is, the man who has 5,000 who cannot give 1,000 will not give 1 million when he has 5 million. It's simple. It's in the Bible like that. I hope you are getting my point. I know myself. You know, one thing I don't ever say is I know myself. Like I told you earlier, you know, I was saying something earlier. I said that God knows me. I said, no, it's not because I trust myself, but because I have done it before. Are you getting the point I'm making? Uh-huh. So if you are not doing it now, there is nothing like I know myself. You don't. A man can be deceived. A woman can be deceived. It's very scriptural. Deception means that you believe the thing to be true, but it is false. A lie is when you know it is not true. But deception is that you think it is true, but it is false. Are you getting my point? Now, that, I said, is what? Spiritual seed. But apart from spiritual seed, there is physical seed which everybody must plant. Restore our captivity, O God, he said in Psalm 126. God said, those that sow in tears shall reap with joy. He that goes forth weeping, bearing his bag of seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. That was not talking about spiritual seed. It was talking about physical investment. We have quoted it mostly as spiritual seed. No. What he was saying is that, restore our economy, O God. God said, you to go and open a shop and start a business. Who will create a job if you don't create a job? That's what God is saying. Are you getting my point? That why is everybody looking for work? Nobody is trying to create work. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, I gave you 50,000 naira. You have given your spiritual seed. Praise God. You have met your immediate need. God said, no, there's a balance 20,000 naira. Don't spend it. Go down here, buy this material, stock it here and start selling it. You will make 10% on each one. Start. Don't eat the proceeds, because I still give you money from that little office where you are working that will give you enough to eat for now. That is what is called physical seed. You keep on giving your spiritual seed. That energizes the productivity of your physical one. Are you getting my point? Now, I'll lay that foundation. I will develop on that next time. But the point I want to make is this. What you don't make room for in your life, you will not be able to do. Listen, I was... Kingsley, you remember the discussion we and I had the other time? I said, there are people I know. They have a big house, but they don't have a room for visitors. The house is big. But you didn't say in your mind that when visitors come, they will stay here. Therefore, every visitor is a disturbance to you. Do you get my point? Meanwhile, there are those who have very small houses. But they have said in themselves that if I have a guest unexpectedly, this guy will move to this room, this person will stay here, and then we will manage this place so that the guest at least can sleep on this corner. They have said it in their minds ahead of time. Are you getting my point? That is, they have made room. That's what I call make room for people in your life. Make room for things. Things you don't make room for, they are the ones that are difficult for you to do. Like the man who said, I don't have. It is because the more he knows, I don't have. But if you made up your mind that God, no matter how bad it is, minimum of 12% of whatever you give me, I will give a spiritual seed. When God gives you 100 naira, you give 12 naira. When God gives you 5,000, you will give 600. Are you getting the point I'm making? Then at a point it come, you will cross a threshold in which you now get into God's perfect plan for giving, which is not out of deprivation, that is given out of superabounding. That's what Paul said is God's perfect plan. Listen, Warren Buffett does not give out of necessity. He gives out of what? Abundance. That is God's perfect plan. However, God said, before I commit to you true riches, I test you with the small ones. Do you get my point? So I conclude with that. You have to make room for every expenditure in your life. Stop living impulsively. Let impulse be the exception, not the rule. I hope you understand that point. Let us pray.